I'm Dave Moore, and this is Pueblo's Podcast. With me today is Joe Concilia of Concilia & Concilia Law Firm. How you doing, Joe?
Very nice, Dave. Thanks for coming down.
Absolutely. And we'll talk a little bit about the history that you've had in Pueblo, how you grew up in Pueblo and that sort of thing, and then we're going to get to the shining star, the Neon Alley, okay, which is just amazing.
Well, Dave, I like to say jokingly that I was born, raised, and stuck here. I am a native of Pueblo, from kind of an immigrant background. My mother was Italian. My father was Slovenian. They lived in the same neighborhood. They both fought in World War II, and they came back because they lived back-to-back between Evans Avenue and Abriando Avenue. They formed a relationship. They got married. And then they had three kids. I was the second of the three. And we were lucky enough all to become attorneys, or unlucky, I guess, depending on how you look at it.
And you've been working with your brother for how long?
I've been working with my brother for almost 40 years now. I think we actually, I've been an attorney, I think, 41 years. And I think he became a lawyer 35 years ago. And so we've had the partnership from the day he became a lawyer.
Oh, very nice. And you've been in the Union Avenue area for decades, right?
I say that when I came back to Pueblo, I think my senior year is the first time that I had actually been to Denver and seen Larimer Square. And I saw what Dana Crawford did up there. And I said to myself, if I ever get the opportunity, I'm going to develop what I consider to be a better looking area of Pueblo than Larimer Square was for Denver.
Sure.
And so I decided to duplicate basically what she did up there.
And what was the first step in that process?
Well, the first step in the process was I bought a building out of a foreclosure, I think maybe the first year I got out of law school. And the building had been renovated to be a bar and a nightclub. And it was called the Bella Union. Mm-hmm. And I bought the building out of the foreclosure. The building was suspiciously burned down, mm-hmm, presumably by the person that lost it in the foreclosure. And I decided to rebuild the building with the insurance proceeds. And then we had a horrific windstorm about this time of year, I don't know, 35 years ago, so it would have been in February, I believe. And that building blew down while we were trying to, God was telling me he didn't want me to do something with that building, I guess. So at any rate, I then started buying other buildings, ultimately bought the Union Depot, mm-hmm, the building that I'm in right now. And other developers came in, but they came and left. And I would try and buy what they no longer wanted. And so I had the area that I dreamed about since high school, which basically was something that would be like Larimer Square in Denver.
And it's absolutely a jewel in Pueblo on Union Avenue and Victoria B Street.
It never turned out to be quite what Larimer Square was, just because of the demographics of the community, the fact that we only had 150,000 people, but I'm proud of it.
Well, and rightly so. It's amazing.
Thank you.
I actually ran a store for several years.
I recall that.
Just down the road here.
Yeah.
So Neon Alley, you can go to the website PuebloNeonAlley.com. And how did the love or interest in neon signs begin?
Well, my mother was a longtime collector of antiques, and as a child, most of the what people would call at that time junk stores were on Union Avenue, and so I'd been on Union Avenue, and I started collecting a little bit of everything. And for whatever reason, I'd always been fascinated with neon. And I would periodically run across a neon sign. And if I had the wherewithal to buy it and an ability to store it, I would buy neon signs. And the problem with collecting neon is kind of like collecting potato chips. It's very fragile. The more you move it, the less likely it is to stay intact. So I decided I was going to do something with it, And by that time, the city had adopted sign ordinances with respect to Union Avenue. Mm-hmm. And so I couldn't put them on the fronts of the building. And I've always been fascinated by alleys. I think they're more interesting than maybe streets. And so I decided I would put them in the alley, and that's how I came up with the name Neon Alley.
Very good. And what was the first, do you remember the first neon sign that you had?
Well, I'm going to tell you the first neon sign that I ever remember, and this would really be dating myself. but when I was a kid, on the top of the Pittsburgh Paint store, which is where the convention center is right now, they had a huge neon Native American. And I think that sign, you know, when you're small, things seem bigger. But I think that sign had to be three stories tall.
Right.
And the feathers on the headdress for the Native American would change colors. And we always would tell my dad to drive down to hope that that sign was up there. And so that's the first sign that I remember.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Probably the first sign that I ever collected, I believe, was from a bar in, and I got it at a junk store, and I believe it was from a bar in Trinidad, Colorado, and it was an Aladdin's lantern, and anyway, I bought a small, I bought that sign, and then I had the neon put on it. And anyway, I fell in love with that sign. It's still one of my favorites. It's in the alley now.
And
I call that the Aladdin.
The Aladdin, right. Okay. And the art of creating neon tubing is becoming a lost art, isn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, dating myself once again, I had, you know, everybody's ambition in life, which turns into be their nightmare, is to own a bar. And right after I got out of law school and we were developing the area, I had a bar called the Savoy. And in that bar, I took the neon that I had been collecting and I put it on the dance floor. And the neon was so vibrant that I had to take and put shaded pieces of glass to tone it down because it was really blinding.
Oh, gosh.
And at that time, there was a neon bender, they call them benders, mm-hmm. by the name of Barbera. It was Barbera Sign Company. And he actually bent neon signs down here. And so when he was alive, I had someone who could repair the neon. And then when he got out of the business, I had to kind of improvise to come up with people who could do the neon signs.
Sure. And what was the first neon sign that you put in what is now Neon Alley?
The first one was actually one that my brother acquired out of Los Angeles, California. And it was on a very famous thoroughfare there. And a lot of people come and tell me they remember the establishment. It was called Tommy's Burger, a very famous, and it was the original Tommy's Burger location on, I can't remember the name of the street. We saw it on the internet. And they were tearing the building down. And they sold us the sign for $500.
Oh, gosh.
And then when we got the sign, Chris, we brought it back. It was all broken. Mm-hmm. We had to renovate it. But I was almost immediately offered $10,000 for that sign once I got it back here because somebody wanted it back.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And you had a story before we started recording about the Anchor Inn.
Yeah, the one of my favorites in Pueblo was the Anchor Lounge, mm-hmm. And that, you know, is between 7th and 8th Street, was between 7th and 8th Street on Main Street, and that sign graced that building for a number of years with a number of different proprietors, and I think probably about 5 or 6 years ago, the building changed hands and it became another bar called The Iron Horse, and when it became the Iron Horse, they sold, they took the neon sign down. I'd been trying to buy that sign, and the story that I told you was that somebody had driven by the office and offered to sell me the sign for $150, and my staff didn't say, oh yeah, he definitely loved the sign. They said that I wasn't in. The person went and sold it to another party. And the next day I paid $2,500 for that sign because I wanted it so badly. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Good for them, bad for me.
Right. That's capitalism, right?
That's right, absolutely.
And so you started placing the signs in Neon Alley. And how many signs are there in Neon Alley now?
You know, I lose count. I think there are 47.
Okay.
At the present time there are.
And that's really grown over the last 5 years, right?
It has. I think we started with 12. And then I ended up adding till I got to that number. We just recently added one that we had fabricated here. And it's a cross that says Jesus Saves on it. And anybody who knows me knows that I'm not terribly religious, even though I can still say the High Mass in Latin from my background.
Oh, there you go.
But that was a very famous sign, and it says Jesus Saves, really one of my favorite signs. And we just added that maybe a month ago.
And you have signs in storage. That's probably one of the toughest things is once you find the sign.
Right.
Finding a place
right.
for them before they go up.
I was telling you that, you know, kind of, you know, one story leads to another story. My kids, like all kids that are millennials, you know, stay up all night playing video games. And it always angers me. And I woke up one night and I said, you know, you're not doing anything that helps me. Why don't you at least find some signs for me? Well, it just so happened that when they're up at 3 o'clock in the morning, it happens to be the work days in China. And they got on, and they start communicating with a Neon facility in China, in interior China. Mm-hmm. And I was very happy that they were doing that. And that's been really a very rewarding thing because the Chinese don't have a word for procrastinate. And so they got right on. We would send them a picture of a Neon sign that we were interested in, and they would get right on the fabrication. And just to give you an idea, I said to my son, make sure that these signs are engineered to, you know, handle winds and the elements. And the woman they dealt with said every third person in our facility is an engineer. Gives you an idea of what that country's about. And so
they
built the signs, and then they helped us get the signs to America, and they have an amazing infrastructure. The facility where the Neon signs were made is, I think, 2,000 or 3,000 miles inland, and they would ship the signs after they made them to Hong Kong, a trip that took about a week. Mm-hmm. But they would only charge like $500 to ship huge signs, and then they'd get them on a boat for us, and then when they got to America and you had to pay the tariffs and everything else is when the expenses really kicked in.
Now, is the Neon in place on those signs while they're being shipped?
You know, when I said that the stories about getting it here are almost more interesting, mm-hmm. the crates that they sent were the most sophisticated things you can ever imagine. And so this last time, I think we had 9 or 10 Neon signs, some that were as tall as 25 feet tall. They were disassembled. The Neon sign, the Neon lights were all packed in foam. They were all numbered. And they got these here, you know, we're talking 8,000, 9,000 miles. Nothing was broken.
That is unbelievable.
It's absolutely incredible.
Just building the crate.
Just building the crate here was really, you know, phenomenal. I was kind of proud that my sons were able to negotiate all this because you had to get a tariff broker. You had mm-hmm. to do all these things. Were a number of steps, but the Chinese made it very, very interesting. I became very enamored and respectful of the culture.
Wow. Do they walk through Neon Alley and say, that's one I got?
Yeah, absolutely. Over here? Absolutely. In fact, the couple of the signs, the sign that says the Blue Slipper Cafe, there was, in fact, a Blue Slipper Cafe in Pueblo. But to our knowledge, it didn't have a blue slipper. And one of my sons had done a piece of ceramic while he was in middle school, I believe. And he actually made a high heel slipper. And so he then did the drawing from which a local metal craftsman built the neon slipper, and that sign is totally fabricated, but really designed by my sons. And the same thing on the Vegas shoe sign. My son actually took a look at the Vegas shoe sign down on Northern, and he did his own drawing of it, and then based on that, they did a reproduction of that sign.
Wow. And so they send the drawing to the folks in China?
Those two signs were made here in Pueblo.
Oh, okay.
They were made in Pueblo.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. And if you find a neon sign that you want to be fabricated in China, you send that information to them?
Send them the pictures, okay, and send them the dimensions that I want, and then they come up with drawings, and as I say, they would do the turnaround drawings in, you know, a couple of weeks, and the fabrication probably would take 30 days.
Okay. Is there a sign or two that will be put up in the next few months that we can look forward to?
Well, we kind of, you know, because this is not a visual program,
right,
you get to see some of the signs that we had shipped.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that because we had done, the fabrication had been done in China, that at the very least we should have a Chinese restaurant. And virtually any town that you went to in America, I think in the 50s, that had a Chinese restaurant, which was everyone, had a Chinese neon sign. And so we looked for an iconic one, and I think the one we came up with was a dragon, which is about 25 feet tall, and it says Jimmy Wong's Chinese restaurant. And okay, it's a two-sided sign of a dragon, and really a very good-looking sign. And then I indicated to you that one of the most iconic neon signs in America was one in Mesa, Arizona. And it was for a motel called the Starlight Motel. And it was of a diving woman. And it has a woman standing on a platform that dives roughly three stories. And it's an animated sign, which means that it sequentially goes, so it looks like it's moving.
Right.
And there are three segments to it. The segments are all full body size. They're all 6 foot. So the sign's a little over 20 feet.
Oh,
and that's a very nice sign that we're looking forward to. And then one of the other ones, and actually this neon sign had never been made, but it was based on an animation that my kids had seen on the internet. And it was an animation of a neon sign, and it was Batman and Robin walking up the side of a building. Anyway, they asked this company in China if they could make an honest-to-God neon replica of that sign, and the Batman and Robin are probably 7 feet tall, and they weren't able to get the animation done, so you can't see him walking.
Okay.
But if you remember the Batman series from the 60s,
oh sure, where you know, it looked like they were,
it has a rope and it looks like they're climbing, and so we're kind of excited about that sign as well.
Oh, I can imagine. Any chance of convincing the city to change the ordinance so you can have the neon signs out on the fronts of the buildings?
You know, I don't know. That's something we, you know, the we have the historic designation of that got everybody tax credits and whatever. And I don't think at the time they sought that they thought much about neon, although I'm positive that many of the buildings that were down here had neon on them at the time.
Sure.
So, you know, I think we'll see how all that progresses, and you know, on my bucket list, maybe to do at least our block, mm-hmm, in neon would be something we'd consider.
Oh, that would be great.
Thank you.
One of my favorites is, for obvious reasons, is the cigar sign.
Yeah, thank
you. That you have.
Thank you. And you know, that sign, that was another story that came from Los Angeles as well. For whatever reason, I have had a lot of signs from Los Angeles. And I think the first neon sign in America actually was done in Los Angeles, car dealership, when the process for neon was discovered by Frenchmen and then came over. I believe that one of the first neon signs in America was in Los Angeles, California. And that Wally cigar sign was a landmark on Wilshire Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, interestingly enough, I was on the internet and his daughter sold me that sign, and I think after I got it to Pueblo, it was another thing like the Tommy Burger sign that they had real qualms about the fact that they had sold the site.
Oh, sure.
So I kind of felt bad about that because I would certainly not want, something that I'd been responsible for, taken down. But that's a cool sign.
Right. The Tommy Burger sign has pickles and...
Yeah, the Tommy Burger sign, really I think, neat. Really... I'll tell you what's interesting is when you talk to people who really understand the art of it, and I would not even proclaim to be close to understanding the art of it, but the people that have seen the signs always believe that the Tommy Burger sign is probably the best artistic piece because it was an original piece. It has the pickles, it has the lettuce, it has the ketchup. It was a very artistic sign. And compared to one of my favorites, which is the Scott Office sign, mm-hmm. which was a reproduction that we made off of a wooden sign. It was never a neon sign. But I think that's such an interesting sign because the metal work on that sign is three-dimensional. You had to make an eight-sided or six-sided pencil. It seems to me the workmanship on that one is a better one. But whenever I have somebody who knows something, they come in and say the Tommy Burger sign is probably the best one I have.
And I remember Scott Office Products using that line in their radio commercials at the look for the sign of the big pencil.
Yeah, right, exactly. Right.
So
exactly.
It was like, oh, yeah, that's where they are.
Yeah, right, absolutely.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah, it was really rewarding. They had no idea we made the sign. And when we put it up, they called and said, wow, is that cool that you would have done that. But their wooden sign was such a nice sign, that the mm-hmm. neon sign,
Oh, very good. Yeah, it's just amazing. Are there any other signs that you'd like to highlight that are in Neon Alley or might be coming?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. My protege here is reminding me a sign that we were just given that I've always been crazy about. I don't think it was a neon sign to begin with. But the Pumphrey family gave us recently the flying carpet that they had, which actually was a covering for their doorway. It operated basically to keep the rain off the front door. Mm-hmm. And it was this great curved flying carpet. And it had a little genie on the top. And I remember as a kid, the way they would advertise the carpet company. And so we have an idea for making that a neon sign. And that there would only be one sign like that in the world, and that would be that sign. I'm not even sure you could reproduce that sign now.
Right.
Maybe the Chinese could.
Oh, maybe they
maybe
could.
Maybe the Chinese
That'll be something for them to try, perhaps.
Right.
Anything that that we haven't covered that you'd like to mention about the area and about the Neon Alley?
No, I'm proud of it. I've indicated, I've kind of made some overtures. I spent a weekend right after Christmas in Denver, right up by Union Station, and they've got a lot of lights and neon. I found an alley up there that would be perfect for a neon alley. And so I'd made some overtures because I have some extra neon signs. I would like to have a neon, a Pueblo's Neon Alley in Denver. And what I'd really like to have, I have a son living in New York City. And I would like to find an alley in New York City where I could have Pueblo's Neon Alley, number 2 or 3 in New
right.
York City.
Oh, that would
because,
be great.
Because, if you could do something that even New Yorkers who've seen everything would appreciate, and I think they would appreciate something like that, it would make me feel good about, an idea that I had in Pueblo, Colorado, going to a big city like New York.
Oh, so, sure.
And I have said that we're the largest collection of neon east of the Las Vegas Strip and west of Times Square. I know that's not true, but I'm a lawyer.
It sounds good.
I'm a lawyer, and I'm subject to a certain amount of hyperbole. So
sure.
Anyway, make it sound the way it is.
Well, I certainly encourage everyone to go to the website, PuebloNeonAlley.com. But to really get the full feeling and picture, you've got to come to the Union Avenue area and walk through Neon Alley.
Well, Thank you. I appreciate it very much,
Dave. It's just unbelievable. A couple of questions, just some fun final personality sure. questions, if I may. What's on your perfect pizza, Joe?
What's on my perfect pizza? Well, I gotta tell you, you know, pizza's kind of like spaghetti or green chili. Everybody's got a favorite, and when you become accustomed to one type of pizza or one place that it's made, it's hard to go back. So my perfect pizza is the original IN pizza on Northern. Mm-hmm. It would be the chili strips, Pueblo chili strips, cheese, and sausage. That's my, I just don't think there's pizza like that anywhere in the world.
Right. That would make a great neon sign.
It sure would. It sure would.
How about a couple of this or that questions? Dog or cat?
Dog.
Spring or fall?
Fall.
Hot dog or hamburger?
Hot dog.
Okay. Well, thank you for being on Pueblo's podcast. I really appreciate your time. Joe Concilia, Concilia and Concilia, attorneys at law. They're on B Street just between Union Avenue and Victoria. And a gem in Pueblo just really comes alive at night. It's Pueblo's Neon Alley.
Thank you very much,
Dave. You're welcome. I'm Dave Moore. Be proud, Pueblo.
Hey there, Carly Moore here with a quick reminder. Don't forget, Pueblo's podcast is on your favorite app, so you can listen on the go. Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and iHeartRadio. Please follow and subscribe and add this podcast to your favorites to get the latest episodes. We try and put out an episode at the beginning of every month. If you have a suggestion or an idea of something we should be talking about, let us know on our website. It's Pueblos with an S podcast.wordpress.com, or you can just find us on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/Dave Moore Radio DJ. Thanks so much for listening.